listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
I love thy kingdom, Lord, the house of thine abode. The church, our blessed Redeemer, saved with his own precious blood. We often think of churches, we think of denominations, but the church is really the body of Christ. In Ephesians we read, therefore as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Later in that same chapter, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he called the church the pillar and ground of the truth. It is those that Christ died for, it is those that he saves, and it is also those that he uses to be his witness throughout the world. Listen to the last stanza of this song. Sure as thy truth shall last, to Zion shall be given the brightest glories earth can yield and brighter bliss of heaven. Reading from Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, reading through the 13th verse. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and feigned deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Let's give thanks for these words, as Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, abounding therein with thanksgiving, at all the things that are true for them and for the church today. That we need to give thanks for that. And also we need to beg God to revive us in this, to teach us from it, and to add to the church daily such as should be saved. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus. We come asking only in His name, for only then can we be heard, and only then can we be given that which is right to Thy glory, to our present and eternal good, and as well to the good of others, that we may in this love our neighbor as ourself, that we may want this for Thy glory, that we may want it so we can bring forth fruit, that we may want it so that all the world will soon hear and fear and turn unto Thee. We pray it, Father, for all nations. We pray that the church might be revived. We pray that the world might be awakened and saved. We pray also that Thou wilt call laborers to go into the fields which are still white of the harvest, where the laborers are few, the many that may not have even heard that word. We think especially of children in unbelieving homes that have never heard the word and probably only heard it spoken against. We pray, Father, that in every place Thy word might be known. We pray, Father, for Thy blessing also in other areas of life, the temporal needs, for those in sickness and injury. We pray for the troubled homes. We pray for those in older age, the lonesome. We pray for the sorrowing. We pray, Father, that the sick and injured might be healed if it could be Thy will, and for those that will not have that blessing, that they might have the grace to live under these circumstances and to learn through them, and especially, Father, to prepare for death through Christ Jesus. We ask for Thy blessing in the schools, in the workplace. We pray for those that are in hunger and homeless, all those that are suffering, especially those that are suffering for Thy name's sake, all through Christ Jesus. Amen. As we continue here, there is so much, so much, so much to learn and be thankful for. Again, just the words in themselves. As ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. What a blessing to receive the greatest of all gifts. God having so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we have one or the other. We are perishing sinners, or we have everlasting life. In ourself, we are perishing. In Christ, in having received Him, in having known the need of that gift, and then by faith received Him, God pardoning us, as the last words that we read, having forgiveness of all your trespasses, having that blessing that our sins are blotted out, as the next verse that we didn't read states, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. That's receiving Christ. Christ the Creator, Christ the Son of God with the Father, Christ who became man, Christ who went to the cross, Christ who rose, and Christ who rules. Is that now at the right hand of the Father? We have to receive Him in all those ways. And to have the forgiveness of our sins, to have reconciliation with God, we have to particularly receive Him as dying for us. Dying for us. Paul calls that the gospel. He said to the Corinthians, he had preached the gospel to them, which is Christ dying for us and for our sins according to the Scriptures. That must be believed. And as we said last week, twice in the first chapter, the blood is referred to. He shed His blood on the cross. And that's all part of receiving Him as He is spoken of in the Word. And He must be preached in that way. The gospel must be preached, and the gospel is Christ dying for our sins, being buried, rising again according to the Scriptures. All of that we need to know and believe. And it all comes by believing. And believing is also part of God's gift. As Paul said to the Ephesians, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And faith, as well as all other things, are a gift, because God pardons us through faith. And he pardons us after he leads us in the way of repentance, in the way of humbling, finally coming to know. As one song states, as we sang it, I was a wandering sheep, I did not love the fold. Another song states, crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon the throne. All of these things are true, as many of the songs so wonderfully describe us in our sin, Christ on the throne. All of it is there in Scripture. And here we have the Scripture. Paul writing the Scripture, like others have written as well, Moses, prophet, the prophets, the other apostles, and as Peter would say, that Paul wrote these Scriptures, and some of them rest the Scriptures. And we see a warning against that also, as we read, verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And many do that, both in the message of receiving Christ, that it is not done rightly, not preached rightly, not believed rightly, not taught rightly, and we must teach the whole counsel of God, as Paul said he did. And here we have once more a wonderful part of that counsel. Coming further, after he gives warning, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Everything in Scripture can be rested as well as believed. And as Peter said, rested to their own destruction. Before we come to the actual application of it by the Spirit, we could say that the very beginning of it is also by the Spirit, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Paul writes to another church that no man calls Christ Lord except by the Spirit. And so we must say that the Spirit's work is always there, first to convict, then to reveal, and as well to teach and to lead into all truth. We see a further work of the beginning work of the Spirit in the 11th verse that is called the circumcision made without hands, made by Christ. Again, let's think of Christ, Christ, Christ. The first verse state, received Christ Jesus, calling him by name, describing him by name. Then the last part of the verse, referring to him, walk in him. The 7th verse, built in him. All of those referring to Christ. The 9th verse, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The 10th verse, for you are complete in him. And then referred to as well in the 11th verse, in whom, Christ, also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Here we have, in different words and other places, but the same message as already Ezekiel gave it. When we think of the prophecies of the Old Testament, Ezekiel wrote, and God said by the pen of Ezekiel, speaking in the first person, Ezekiel 36, verse 26, a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart, and I will give you a heart of flesh. That is really the circumcision made without hands. All those people that Ezekiel knew and was ministering to very likely had been circumcised in the flesh, but they needed to know, as Paul wrote to the church at Rome, Romans chapter 2, verse 28, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. There Paul shows what the circumcision made with hands is. And he says, such one that is just circumcised in the flesh, outward in the flesh, is not the spiritual person. He said, that is not of the Spirit, not in the heart. And here, Paul is speaking to this New Testament church and saying, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. You have the inward circumcision. You have the circumcision of Christ, made by Christ, in putting off the body of sins by the flesh, of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. Twice he's referred to the first part, in whom ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and the last part, by the circumcision of Christ. It is the same circumcision that the Lord Jesus spoke to Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He had to have the circumcision so that his eyes would be opened, his heart would be opened. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and without that stony heart doesn't believe. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have then the spiritual eyes. We have the way of faith, that we believe that which we may not see with our natural eyes, but we see it as described by God's word. We have the picture of the Creator, the Sustainer, the Lawgiver, the Savior. We have that all described, and the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. As Christ said, he will not speak of himself, he will take the things of mine and show them to you. That's what is here unfolding, as Paul speaks of two things really. One is receiving Christ in the sixth verse, and then having been circumcised by Christ, by his circumcision, by his working in the heart, by him doing this with his Spirit. And we need to see that by faith, believing it as it's described. As Christ said to Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Nicodemus didn't seem to know that. He says, how can these things be? How can I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born? He knew it was the second time. He heard that much and received that much, but there were things that were puzzling to him. And Christ asked the question, he says, art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? He should have known it from God's word, from God's speaking it through Ezekiel. A new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart, and I will give you a heart of flesh. That's what is being done here, with that circumcision made without hands. It is Christ changing the heart from a stony heart to a new heart. He is doing it, and he is doing it by the Word and by the Spirit. Sometimes it's referred to in one way, like Ezekiel does, like Christ does to Nicodemus, calling it the new birth. When Paul writes to the Ephesians, he says, you hath he quickened. We read that word here also. That is many times used for the being made alive or quickening. When James writes of it, he writes of it as with an emphasis on the Scripture itself. And that is also true. It is another part of the whole. We read in James chapter 1, verse 18, of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. There we are begotten, or born again, or have the circumcision that changes the heart. When we think of John writing in his gospel, we have much the same message as we do here to the Colossians. John also gives almost identical to what Paul does here in verse 6, as ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. John says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And then John does the same thing as Paul does here, adding with it in the next verse, who were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And here we have that same thing as John 1:13, and here Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, in whom we are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. All of that is part of new birth, new heart, regenerated, quickened. When Paul writes to Titus, he speaks of it as the word regeneration. In Titus chapter 3, Paul writing to Titus, his fellow laborer, first describing both of them in their sinful ways. Chapter 3, verse 3, we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts, pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another. That's the fruit of the stony heart. That's the fruit of blinded eyes. It can be in pride, but still blinded. But then Paul says, after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, God-giving Christ, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. All these descriptions are one thing: God working in the heart by the Spirit, by the Word, through and because of Christ. One place, one emphasis might be given more, another place, another emphasis, but all of it is there together. None of it is without Christ. None of it is without the Spirit. None of it is without the Word. It comes by the preaching of the Word. Paul described it to the Thessalonians, a message that we saw some time ago from the first chapter of Thessalonians, when Paul said, we came not in word only, but in power with the Holy Ghost and much assurance. He said, knowing your election, knowing that God had chose you. The emphasis there was put on what God did long before that, and then what God did accompanying the Word, and what God did through the preaching of the Word. But the two together, the Word not coming in word only, but in power with the Holy Ghost. The very same as Paul says here, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Or the very same thing as James says, begotten us by the word of truth. And here it is called the circumcision made without hands in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Then we have also what follows all through Scripture, particularly through the book of Acts, and sometimes in the early churches. Baptism. All in one sentence, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, when also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. Whether we go back to the very beginning of the outpouring of the Spirit, the beginning of the New Testament church, or whether we go along the way in Samaria, where they were believers, were baptized, both men and women, or whether we go to the Philippian jailer, or Paul's life himself, when Ananias says, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. It is there together. Not every place that all of it is mentioned, but especially the first part of the book of Acts. It is there mentioned many times. It is mentioned in the second chapter, as many as gladly received the word were baptized. And as I mentioned, when Philip went to Samaria, those that believed and received the word were, both men and women, were baptized. And when Philip talked to the Ethiopian eunuch, he said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And when Philip answered him, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And they both went down in the water, and he baptized him. They came out of the water, both Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And then Paul's conversion, baptism mentioned both in Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 22, and others as well. The Philippian jailer, and later some of them it isn't mentioned, others it is mentioned. It is mentioned in Acts when Paul went to the Ephesians, and some of the other churches not mentioned, but it is established especially in the first part of the book of Acts, all of this together as we see it here. And though baptism may not be mentioned otherwise in the letter itself to the Ephesians or some of the other letters to the churches, but here we have one that gives a clear example of something that must happen in every church for a right beginning, must happen in every heart for a right beginning with God, to be turned from darkness to light, from Satan to God, from walking according to the course of this world, to being, as Paul said to the Ephesians, quickened together with Christ. Here it's described as circumcised by Christ. Some would say that this teaches that baptism came in the place of circumcision. I don't really see that. I see that these people were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Then, after having the new birth, having also received Christ and told to walk in Him, they began their new walk by being buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who raised Him from the dead. The same God that raised Christ from the dead raises us up, first buried, picturing that Christ died, rose again, picturing also that we died. We died with Christ. It's our death. Paul said in Romans 7, referring to God's teaching of Him, and I died. Died. Died to all false hopes. Died to the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Died to both the ways of self-righteousness and evil things. All of it together has to die. Not only what we do, but what we believe. Self-righteousness is what we believe falsely. Like the Laodiceans said, they were rich in need of nothing. They had to die the second time. That's reviving. Put to death the lies that are there and arise again. The Galatians had the same problem. But here, buried with Him in baptism, we bury the dead. And these people were buried, but also risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God. Christ not only gives the initial circumcision of the heart, the new birth, but Christ is also the author and the finisher of our faith, as well as the object. And God does that by the Word and by the Spirit. The faith of the operation of God does it in our hearts. Has He done it in yours?
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.